Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, The Island of Jambudvip, text number 14. Yatai hi ka mushmika kamalam pataha. Suteshu dareshu dineshu chintayan. Sanketa vidvan kula levarat yayad. Yastasya yatna shrama eva kevalam. Yatahi ka mushmika kamalam pata. Suteshu dareshu daneshu chintayan. Sanketa vidvan kula levaratnaya. Yastasya yatna shrama eva kevalam. Yatai ka mushmika kamalambhata. Ladies, itai ka mushmika kama kampata, sukeshu dareshu dineshu chintayan. Sanketa vidvan kula ye varatmayaya. Yastasi yatna shrama eva kevalam. Yata as ahika in the present life. Amushmika in the expected future life. Kamalampata. Person is very much attached to lusty desires for bodily enjoyment. Almost, let's try it again. A person who is very much attached to lusty desires for bodily enjoyment. Suteshu, children. Dareshu, wife. Daneshu, wealth. Chintayan, thinking about. Sanketa, is afraid. Vidvan, person advanced in spiritual knowledge. Sukalevara, of this body, which is full of stool and urine. Atyayat, because of loss. Ya, anyone. Tasya, his. Yatna, endeavors. Shrama, a waste of time and energy. Eva, certainly. Kevalam, only. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Materialists are generally very attached to their present bodily comforts, and to the bodily comforts they expect in the future. Therefore, they are always absorbed in thoughts of their wives, children, and wealth, and are afraid of giving up their bodies, which are full of stool and urine. If a person engaged in Krishna consciousness, however, is also afraid of giving up his body, what is the use of his having labored to study the Shastras? It was simply a waste of time. Purport. At the time of death, a materialist thinks of his wife and children. He is absorbed in thinking of how they will live and who will take care of them after he leaves. Consequently, he is never prepared to give up his body. Rather, he wants to continue to live in this body to serve his society, family, friends, and so on. Therefore, by practicing the mystic yoga system, one must become detached from bodily relationships. If despite practicing bhakti yoga and studying all the Vedic literature, one is afraid of giving up his bad body, which is the cause of all his suffering, what is the use of his attempts to advance in spiritual life? The secret of success in practicing yoga is to become free from bodily attachments. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Deha smriti nahi yar samsara bandhana kahantar. One whose practice has freed him from the anxieties of bodily needs is no longer in conditional life. Such a person is freed from conditional bondage. Person in Krishna consciousness must fully discharge his devotional duties without material attachment, then his liberation is guaranteed. So again, text. Yatayika mushmika kamalampata suteshu dareshu daneshu chintayan sanketa vidvan kulaye varatnyaya yastasya yatna shrama eva kevalam. Materialists are generally very attached to their present bodily comforts and to the bodily comforts they expect in the future. Therefore, they are always absorbed in thoughts of their wives, children, and wealth, and are afraid of giving up their bodies, which are full of stool and urine. If a person engaged in Krishna consciousness, however, is also afraid of giving up his body, what is the use of his having labored to study the Shastras? It was simply a waste of time. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutta Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadhyade Siddharane. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned Bhakti Yogena Man Asi. We have the first canto here. Actually, I can look it up. No. Savai pumsam puro dharmo yato bhaktira hokshade ahaituk vitiyata yatma prasit sampraseedati. The supreme occupational duty for all men is that which is gives one unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Such devotional service should be unrestricted or unmotivated. No, the first one is uninterrupted and unmotivated in order to completely satisfy the self. And then it says, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Jana Yaisu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Tad Ahaitukam. That by worshipping Lord Vasudeva, Krishna in devotional service, then one automatically acquires causeless knowledge and detachment. So this knowledge is knowledge that we're not the body. After all, we may acquire all kinds of other kinds of knowledge. We may learn 100 languages. We may be able to divide pi into a million places. Whatever. And we may get appreciation from so many worldly persons. How expert we become. How intelligent we are. But if we don't realize we're not this body, then it's shrama eva hi kevalam. It's just a waste of time. We may event or may live in a very wonderful dreamland where we're the king or the queen or maybe a rabbit, depending on what we'd like to be. But after all, it's just a dream. The real success is to wake up. Similarly, the success of the human form of life is how much we can wake up from the dreamlike state of material existence. And that is what bhakti yoga is meant for. If we execute it properly, then it gives us causeless knowledge and detachment. Causeless knowledge of our spiritual quality and eventually identity, and at the same time, detachment from material conceptions of identifying or misidentifying ourselves and our others with their gross and subtle material bodies. On the other hand, it says that if we execute devotional service and even study the Vedas and we don't come to understand that we're not this body and that we're eternally servants of Krishna and we're attached to material things, then we've actually wasted our time. It's just like the example is given. Person who has earning money every day and he's putting it in the bank, but he's putting it into the wrong bank account. So day after day, year after year, he keeps on putting money into the account. He's going to retire. He comes and asks the bank teller to give him his money so he can retire with it. And he says, well, I have nothing in the account. What do you mean? Every day I've been coming here and putting it into this account. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not your account. So similarly, if we're putting our energies into something which is actually not helping us become spiritually conscious of our identity and ultimately of Krishna, then we're simply putting our energies in the wrong account, and the result is shrama eva hi kevalam. We're wasting our time. This waste of time may be very much appreciated by our society, our friendship, and our love. If we ask people, you know, I've given up, I've taken again to intoxication, people say, oh, that's very good. Now you've become more normal. I even went to McDonald's. Oh, everything is improving in your life now. They won't say I became a vegetarian. If you tell them I became a vegetarian, I'm not having any illicit sex, I'm not gambling, I'm giving up all meat eating and intoxication, even coffee, tea, and cigarettes, they'd say, oh, abominable. What's happened to you? Who brainwashed you? Most people not encourage, thinking, oh, you've done very well. Previously, they used to take the devotees and put them into deprogramming. Now they don't even bother. They rely upon just normal society to deprogram everyone. society has become such that even the abnormalities that were considered abnormal previously have now become completely normal. You're expected to do it. And the social pressure is such that people in general, they do it. And maybe there's a few people who don't do it, but they entertain everyone else, so it's not so bad. You need a few weird people in society just to give it a little bit of variety. But most people are not going to achieve anything in life. And as it says, that prayena yal pusha shabdyag khalaba yuge jana manda samanda matayo manda bhaga upadrutaha. That people in this age have but short lives. We may think our life is very long, but as I mentioned before, in 1 second of Brahma's life, we go through 1,000 births and deaths. We live for 90 years at a time. So our one life right now, which we think is very long, is only 1,000th of a second of Lord Brahma. And if we live most of our life already, it's maybe 1/10,000th of a second of Lord Brahma. So think about how much a 1/10,000th of a second means in your life. Is it even measurable? So our life is so short, people have but short lives, and they're manda, they're slow. They're slow for spiritual realization. They're slow to understand the difference between matter and spirit. They have no interest. And even if they try to understand, it's too much for their tiny brain. Although they're imagining that their brain is so big, but the more we amplify our brain in the material concept of life, searching after subatomic particles, the more our brain becomes condensed in terms of spiritual life. So you take the biggest scientists and explain to them, your body's changing, but you're not changing, and they look at you in the same way that any animal would look at you, with complete stare and blank, as if you're mad. That much logic they can't put together. The fact that their body is changing, and at the same time, the person who's aware of the body is not changing. So the most obvious thing to the self or to the soul is its eternity, but due to the influence of the illusory energy, the soul can't even understand it, the thing that's most directly experienceable by the self. So that's the power of the illusory energy. And because they can't understand that, they think any endeavor to understand the self is just a waste of time. And at the same time, one who can understand that we're eternal souls, then they can understand that the only value of the human form of life is the opportunity to become liberated. Therefore it says, Ya nisha sarabhutanam tasyam jagati samyami yasya jagami bhutani sa nisha pachuto mune. Ya nisha sarabhutanam. Ya nisha. Nisha is night. What is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for the self-control. And what is night for the self-control is the time of awakening for all beings. So people think we're wasting our time looking for something that doesn't exist, spiritual life. And we think they're looking for something that doesn't exist, material life, or exists. But it's certainly not what people are actually seeking. And where does it all start? Why is it that people mad after this desire to live in the material world and try to be happy here, in spite of the fact that even they gain knowledge of the soul and the supreme soul, but still they remain attached? Kavidu swartha katim or matirna krishne parataksutova mito bipadyeta griha vratanam Adanta gobhira vishitamta mizram punak punas charvita charvanana. Because everyone knows they have difficulty, everyone knows there's problems in the material world. It's just a question of what is our solution. And there are so many solutions being promised. You take this pill and all your diseases will go away. You have this operation, you'll feel like you're 50 years younger. You put this underarm deodorant underneath your arm, and all the ladies will come falling at your feet. Oh, great soul, how can I serve you? So, there's so many promises being made. Either individually, people are trying to improve their existence, or collectively, by holding conferences or organizations like the United Nations, or by a combination of both, people are trying to solve the problems of material existence. But what do they think the problem is? The problem is that they don't think their body is adequate in some way. They want to improve their family. They want to improve their community or their nation or all of humanity. And how is that, what is that improvement? Well, first of all, the improvement is all based on the bodily concept of life. We may expand it and thinking we're expanding, but we probably said if you have zero and you keep on adding more zeros to it, you still get zero. So we may expand our idea of who we're serving in this world, and we may take great pride that we become a philanthropist or a humanitarian. But no matter how much we expand, it still winds up to be still in the bodily concept of life. And what is the bodily concept of life? It is adanta gobhira. Whatever the senses dictate, then we must fulfill. Adanta gobhira vishitamta mizram. It doesn't matter if it's completely against shastra and the laws of nature, even if it brings us to hell. It's our duty to serve our senses. Punak punas charvita charvanana. And therefore they wind up chewing the chewed. So as long as one remains attached to gratification of the senses, as long as one thinks that by some material arrangement we can actually become satisfied, then one has to go on madly chewing the chewed. Now it may be, kudura psychophysical nature, some material arrangement has to be there. Bhagavatam doesn't declare or deride some arrangements for material happiness or material sense gratification or material maintenance, because if we can have some stable situation, we get the proper food, we get the proper ability to take rest, even to reproduce or defend ourselves, then our minds will become more peaceful and we can actually engage in Krishna service. But without engaging in Krishna service, in spite of all the arrangements, without focusing our mind upon Krishna, without trying to make some improvement to our material existence, then we can't actually obtain. Well, the idea is that in material existence, people think, if I can improve my family life, my house gets bigger, if my family gets bigger, if we get more money in the bank, our car gets newer, whatever, then I can find peace and satisfaction. So this is called illusion. And the more one endeavors like that, then the more one will forget one's actual purpose of life. We can't at the same time head for west and expect to wind up in the east. We can't strive for material improvement at the same time strive for spiritual improvement. Although some material arrangement has to be made, but the idea that we can endlessly improve materially and that will solve our problems, that's called illusion. So we have to establish what's necessary to exist and at the same time try to make spiritual advancement in the midst of our struggle for material existence. Then the result should be jnana and vairagya. There should be vairagya. There's some detachment. Not that I've given up my endeavor to get a bigger house and a bigger car and a bigger, you know, better husband or wife and more children, more money in the bank, whatever. And although I've given out that endeavor, that's all I think about. That's my whole meditation. So that kind of renunciation is falgu vairagya, or as Krishna says, ita, what is the beginning? Certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. One who restrains the senses and organs of action from sense gratification, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. On the other hand, let's see, so, five. Karmendriyani samyamya yaste manasasmaran indriyartam vimudatma mityacharas uchite. One who restrains the organs of action but whose mind dwells on the sense objects certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. In other words, we may externally try to pretend for some time that we're a great devotee, but at the same time, we're constantly thinking of the sense objects. So there are four ashrams, so that one can choose the appropriate ashram. But in the midst of, say, grihastha ashram, it doesn't mean that now I'm a grihastha ashram, and therefore I can live like a grihamedi rather than a grihastha. One has to follow the principles of grihastha ashram. And if there are still demands of the senses, one has to learn tolerance. Otherwise, it is not that if I fulfill the demands of my senses, they'll become satisfied and there won't be any more demands. No, there'll be more demands and then more demands, and then one will simply become caught up in fulfilling unlimited demands. It is not that rich people have no demands. Their senses become pacified and purify, and they live peaceful lives. No, they just want more and more and more. And if they may have $1 billion, but if they see you with $10, they're envious of your $10. Why does this man have $10? I must take it from him. So that's the nature of material illusion. On the other hand, a devotee, understanding how Krishnas are making all the arrangements necessary, he's satisfied in any circumstance if one can actually remain in Krishna consciousness. Or actually trying to become conscious of Krishna, then Vishavanivartante Niraharasi Dehinam Rasavarajam Rasopyasya Puram Drishva Nivartate. Person may be restricted from sense objects, though the sense objects remains. But here it says that Vishavanivartante Niraharasi Dehinam. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. So if we can actually think about Krishna and experience Krishna consciousness, then our senses and mind will actually become purified and we won't feel this urges to gratify them. We'll become actually peaceful. And not only peaceful, but ultimately one will become ecstatic. One will experience a higher taste so that material existence seems tuchava or insignificant. Tyaktva turnama shesha mandala pati shrenim sadatu chava putvadina gunesha ko karunaya kopi nakanta shitao kopi bhavara samrita dilahari kolola mogna mohur pande rupa sanatana raguyago Shri Jiva Gopala Go. So the six Goswamis, Tyaktva Toranam Ashesha Mandalapati, they were great personalities in the government of Nawab Hussein Shah. They were fabulously wealthy with a boatload. Rupa Goswami had a boatload of gold coins. And at the same time, Sanatana Goswami was a minister. Raghunath Das Goswami, his uncle and father were multimillionaires, but they gave it all up and they went to Vrindavan and they lived like ordinary mendicants, begging from door to door. Prabhupada gives the example of C.R. Das in India. C.R. Das was a magistrate and he was earning 50,000 rupees per month. So 50,000 rupees at that time was 1,000 times more than it is now. He was fabulously wealthy, but he was unhappy because he was not satisfied with his sense gratification even after earning so much money. So he wanted to renounce. One time he was sitting there on his porch and seeing some mendicant walk by, and his wife asked him, "What would you like?" So he said, "That's what I'd like. I'd like to become a mendicant." After some time, he joined Gandhi's movement, and Gandhi told him, Gandhi told everyone, "You have to give up all connection with the British administrative system, including you can't act as a barrister anymore." Not acting as a barrister meant he had to give up his income. He already distributed his income in charity especially to the Gandhi movement, and now he had to give up the source of his income. So he became part of Gandhi's movement. He was getting like something like 500 rupees a month instead of 50,000. So he became so disturbed due to his poverty that he gave up his body in a few months. On the other hand, the six Goswamis were fabulously wealthy. They gave up everything, went to Vrindavan. They were wearing lawn cloths and begging from door to door. But what is the difference? They were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they felt transcendental pleasure at every moment. Similarly, it said in the Krishna book, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, was at Jagannath Puri, he was in the role of Srimati Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna. So Prabhupada writes that those who are in the disciple succession of the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya should always feel the separation of Krishna, worship his transcendental form, discuss his transcendental teachings, his entourage. The spiritual masters who are rich, the devotees of the highest devotional perfection, feeling constant separation from Krishna while engaged in devotional service, is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. If we practice Krishna consciousness every day, sincerely, and follow the principles, and try to understand what the goal is, and not become disturbed by our lack of material opportunities, then the result is that we should make spiritual advancement and gradually we'll become, just like the six Goswamis, we'll become detached from our material existence and we'll take pleasure and happiness in our remembrance of Krishna. And how do they do it? Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi Kolola Sanikrito Nidra hara vihara kadi vijito sankhyanka chino chayo Radha Krishna padara vinda bhajanan nandena matvaliko Pande rupa sanatano raguyago shi jiva gopalago. So they did it by chanting their rounds every day. Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi. And offering obeisances, worshipping the deities, taking prasadam. They did it by regulated devotional service. And they became so much enriched that they were constantly feeling separation from Radha and Krishna. Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi Kolola Sankritino Kto Nidrahara. In that way they gradually reduced their eating and sleeping, and they became enchanted with the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So we don't have to artificially give up our eating and sleeping. We should regulate them. At the same time, hear and chant about Krishna in such a way as that gradually we become enchanted by these wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their associates, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And in that way, develop a higher taste, realize our real self, and not become disturbed by material existence. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Okay, thank you very much. Gurandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.